First Samuel, chapter 17, we're going to start reading about verse 49. If you want to read with us. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shechem, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. That's where we'll stop reading right there. Got to thinking this week about the death of Goliath. You Bible readers know this story, how that David was just a little shepherd boy, but he had three brothers that were there in the battle, and we read over in another spot where that Samuel had went down and told Jesse to bring all his kids in, that the Lord was going to anoint him a king. And as Eliab passed before him, and the second eldest and the third eldest, and each time Jesse thought, this is the one, surely this is the one. And when he went through all of them, and Samuel didn't choose any of them, Samuel said, do you have any more beside these? And Jesse said, yeah, I've got one more. He's out tending the sheep. And Samuel said, send for him, and we'll not sit down till he gets here. And David came, and the Lord told Samuel, that's the man. He said, for the Lord looked not as men look upon us, but he looks upon the heart. And you know this story that I read the ending of here tonight, how that David went down to the battlefield, how Jesse had sent him to see how that the battle fired and to take his brother's pledge and to stand and fight for Israel and to stand for the Lord. And I've got news for you. Your father would like you to stand in the fight. He didn't save you to sit down. And if that's all you're doing, you're not helping win the battle.
Amen.
And we know David's story, how that he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would bring a reproach upon Israel? He had stood some 40 days and 40 nights and said, send me a man that we could fight. And over and over and over, and there was three of David's elder brothers who refused to go out and face Goliath. There was even the king of Israel, Saul, who of all people should have been the very first to step up and say, I'll go, stood there and cowered. Stood there afraid. As Goliath bellowed day after day after day. And Goliath, we read about him,
You can read about his size. If I read it right, he was around 9 feet tall. And his spear was like, the head of it was like, the part that he thrust was like a weaver's beam. And it told how much it weighed, how much how many shekels of iron, chain mail weighed, how his helmet was of brass. And he even had a man that went in front of him and took a shield to keep from anything hitting him. That was Goliath. A champion that had never been defeated. And that's who was bringing a reproach on Israel. A country that crossed over Jordan, and all they had to do to make the walls fall around Jericho was march. They didn't have to pick up a spear. They didn't need a gun. They didn't need a weapon of any kind. They didn't need to throw a rock. They didn't even need to say an unkind word. All they had to do was walk for the Lord, was take up His charge and do their daily walk for the Lord. Friend, it may get dark sometimes. You may not know which way to go. Keep on walking for the Lord and see if He won't bring victory. And so we read about this fella, Goliath. He had never been defeated. He bellowed day after day. And there stood the men of Israel cowering in His presence. He brought fear in their heart. Their knees spoke together, no doubt. And no doubt, here we sit today, over 2,000 years later, and each one of us has got our own Goliath. Amen. Every one of us has got something that just makes our heart melt. Amen. I don't know what Satan uses against you. You may not realize what Satan uses against me, but we've all got one. Amen. And some of you have brought your Goliath with you here tonight. And you tried to pacify it, and you tried just to live with it, and you tried to comfort it, and you tried to coexist with it. Isn't it about time that we stand up to what Satan's putting in front of us and let God take care of it?
Amen. 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 Bless Him, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Knees smote, men deathly afraid. And Goliath, and pardon me here, Goliath standing over them, just bellowing day after day. Isn't that what your Goliath's been doing to you?
Amen.
Saying you'll never make it. I've got your number. I know what'll make you melt. I know what I can do that'll bring you down to your knees. You don't stand a chance. I've never been defeated. And for some people, it may be alcoholism. For some people, it may be adultery. For some people, it may be lust. I don't know what your Goliath is. And I know you look around on every hand, and your Goliath may be glorified. Have you seen that? I have. That's the world that we live in today. They're saying there's nothing wrong with alcohol. Oh, party. Have a good time. You'll be always young. You'll always have a smile on your face. And they never show the drunkard, homeless, on the street. He's ruined every family life that he's ever had. Nowhere to go, nowhere to turn to. He's miserable, and all he can think of is getting another dollar to get him another drink.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
His Goliath has won.
Amen. Amen.
Your Goliath may be sex. It may be, don't say that word in church, preacher. It may be adultery. If they took that part off TV, there wouldn't be nothing on there, would they?
That's true.
Shame on us. Shame on us that we would allow that in this land and country. That it's glorified for someone else's spouse to sleep with someone else's. Shame on us.
Amen.
What does the Bible say? Does it not say marriage is honorable. And I believe if we obey God's commandments, He will bless. But we tried to pacify. We tried to say, well, that's all right. And we've about let our Goliath beat us in the ground. What did Saul do when David said, I'll go? He said, here's my armor. Did that work for David?
No.
It didn't fit him, did it?
No.
Okay, so if it didn't fit David, who did it fit? Who was it made for? And what was its purpose? Its purpose was to protect Saul in battle. Its purpose was for him to wire to stand up against the enemies of Israel. But he was such a coward. He had listened to Goliath Bella day after day. There was such a... Now listen, here's little David. He's a lad. He's ruddy. Just a young little old thing. Just a little whippersnake, I guess you'd say. Just a little old boy might weigh 75, 100 pounds if that. And then here is Saul. Did you read about Saul? Did you read about his physical description? The Bible said he was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a great big tall man. He wasn't 9 feet, but if there was anybody in Israel should have been able to stand up against Goliath, it ought to have been the king of Israel.
Amen.
But you see, it don't matter what your stature in life is.
It's true.
Goliath always looks bigger than you do. He always stands a little taller than you do.
True.
His job is to intimidate you and to scare you into cowering before him. That's Goliath. What's your name? David, I know your business. You come down here just to see how the battle fired. Is your name Eli Hab? You're not going to do anything, and you don't want anybody else to either. Is your name Saul? You're supposed to be the king, but you're more than willing to let somebody else sacrifice themselves.
That's right.
And all the time Goliath is saying, come on, come on, come on, come on. I've got you. You're not going to win. You're not going to do any good. I'm going to stomp a mud hole in you. You'll never survive. You'll never make it. And did he take a day off? No, he didn't, did he? Did his voice get hoarse where he couldn't talk? No, it didn't. Did he ever give Israel a break? No, he didn't. That's Satan's job. And he's good at it. And he don't take a vacation. And he don't give in. And he don't give up. And if you win a victory against him today, guess what? He's coming back tomorrow to try to intimidate you and beat you down because he don't want to see you win one more soul for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That's true.
That's true. Lord.
I didn't really know which way I was going to go with this. All I had was a little thought. But the Lord's helping me. All right. You know the story. David went down to the brook and he picked up 5 smooth stones. I don't know why he picked 5. But God had a purpose in every one of them.
Yes, he did.
Yep.
And you see, Saul didn't realize that David one day would be king of Israel. Had no idea. Israel didn't realize that David one day would be their king.
Eliab, Abinadab, and all of David's brothers had no clue that one day they'd bow to David.
That's right. Amen. Help you, Lord.
Maybe none of those folks did, but there was a God.
Yes.
And there was a David. And David already knew, regardless of what all those men thought of him, he was a child of the king.
Yes.
When Goliath is bellowing towards you, and you think you may go down, and he calls those seeds of doubts in your mind, remember your lineage. Remember who your father is. Remember you're a child of the king.
Amen.
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 The death of Goliath. So let's get to it. What's going on? Goliath's still bellowing, isn't he?
Yes.
I'll feed your carcass to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Am I a dog? Can't you see it? I asked for a man. What have you sent out here in front of me? You all know you don't stand a chance with that ruddy little boy. And when Goliath took just a thought, David said, the battle,
yes,
is the Lord's.
Amen.
Amen.
David,
yeah,
may have said,
yes,
I can't do a thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
David may have said, I'm just helpless on my own.
Bless you, Lord.
But I've got a God.
Can.
I know a man that can.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
The battle. I know, Goliath. Oh, my own, you're going to crush me.
Bless him, Lord.
So I'm going to just give my part of the fight up to God. The battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
I can't do nothing with you, but he will deliver you into my hands.
Of the story.
Yes, David took a stone and a sling.
Yes.
Now I know he'd probably used that sling 1,000 times, but you can't tell me nothing to dissuade me that God didn't direct that stone.
He did. Amen. He did. Amen. He did.
This man had a helmet on.
Yeah.
This man had chainmail on. This man had every kind of protection, and that's our Goliath.
Amen.
No matter how we look at him, there just doesn't seem a way to bring him down. I don't know what your Goliath is, but he's got a weakness. And if you'll pray, God will direct that little stone of love. God will direct that little old kind word you got to say. And that old cold-hearted Goliath will fall face down. God directed the stone. It hit the one weak spot that Goliath had, the one spot that was exposed. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many people you pay off. I don't care how many security things you surround yourself with. Somewhere or another, there's a weak spot, and God knows where it's at, and he can bring you to your knees.
Amen.
God directed the stone. Goliath fell face first to the ground. David didn't even have a sword. You know, this is not the only place in the Bible where the Lord took a weapon intended for God's man and used it on his enemy.
That's right.
Read about Haman. He was hung on his own gallows.
That's right.
David took Goliath's own sword. And, well, listen, I've read some this week, and I try to do a little research whenever I have a thought. I looked on the internet. Preacher, you shouldn't do that. Well, listen, some of that stuff's foolishness, and I'll leave that alone. And some of it I say, hey, I never thought of it like that before. Some people on there said, well, David didn't slay the giant with the stone. Some said, yes, he did. But I know this, whether the giant was unconscious or whether the giant was dead, when David took the sword and cut his head off, that was the end of Goliath. Amen. He was dead.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
You ain't going to get back up.
Help
and cause any more. Well, listen to me. You ain't going to get back up, Goliath, and cause me any more trouble ever again. The Lord placed you there. He gave me the weapon to work with. I have cut your head off. You're not going to cause me any problems anymore. You may have belled over me day after day. You may have caused fear in my heart. You may have caused me to doubt. But I've cut your head off in the name of the Lord. You're defeated. And I'm going to claim victory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, I may have to go back and read it again, but I don't believe the army of Israel pursued after the Philistines. I don't believe the Philistines ran until David cut Goliath's head off. When they realized they were defeated, they ran. When Israel realized Goliath was defeated, they chased. They took the spoils. They spoiled their tent. That means they took everything of value that Goliath and his men had. And David took that head, and this is significant, both of these parts are. David took that head, and he put it on a spear, and he took it right down to Jerusalem. He took it right down to Jerusalem and he said, look what God did.
Amen.
He may have caused us some problems, but God won the victory for us.
Amen.
Don't forget, when God brings you victory over your Goliath, cut its head off.
Amen.
Let's not take a chance. It might be revived. Yeah. Let's not take a chance. It might not come back tomorrow and bother us again. Cut his head off. And when you do, come carry that head in to Jerusalem and say, look what God has done for me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that's not the only thing that David did, is it? He's a little old bitty boy. And when I preached on David and Goliath before, I used to think about Ethan. But now Ethan's grown up. He's a pretty tall fella now. I believe David was just a little old skinny thing, a little old bitty fella. And I've already preached to you how big and how strong, how intimidating that Goliath was. I told you about his chain mail, about his helmet that he had on, greaves of brass about his legs. And can't you see that little bitty boy carrying a helmet and that chain mail and them greaves that was about that giant's legs and that breastplate that was on him, and maybe is about all he could handle just to carry Goliath's armor, but he didn't want to do away with it, did he? He took that and he put Goliath's armor in his tent.
The death of Goliath. You see, this day was significant more for just the children of Israel and more for just David's ascension to be king. This day was a day that David would remember the rest of his life. Amen. And I said that to say this. You've heard me preach about David. David wasn't a perfect man. He was a man after God's own heart. But he was also a liar. He was also absent when he should have been on the battlefield, when he should have been in church. He wasn't there. He took pride in himself. He lifted himself up. He lusted. He committed adultery. He committed murder, and he tried to cover it up. That was David. And when David was wrong, as wrong could be, and sitting over there, and Nathan said, "Thou art the man," I could see in the distance on the opposite side of the room, off in the corner, there was Goliath's armor. "Look, David, what I've done for you. How I destroyed your Goliath. Look what I brought you through, what I brought you from, and here you are, a liar, an adulterer, a murderer." Oh, David, don't you think David felt condemnation in that instant? Amen. I believe David would have never tried to cover it up had he not felt condemnation before he did all that.
That's right. Amen.
You can't tell me he didn't know all that was wrong until Nathan came and preached to him.
Amen. He did.
He did?
He did.
Then you can't tell me that you don't know what you've done is wrong.
That's right.
Until it's brought up in the pulpit. Right. You're God's child.
That's right.
You've been raised to know right from wrong. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And you know the very instant when you sin.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
Let me say that again. You know the very instant when you sin.
Amen.
Yeah. It's true.
The death of Goliath. Now, there were some other things that happened. He got the king's attention. Saul said, "Who is that? Who is that boy? You stand up for Jesus, and you'll get the world's attention."
Amen.
Now, Saul was a man that God rejected from being king. And you know what happened after God rejected him? He never saw another peaceful day. Why? Because he sinned. He never saw another peaceful day. And the only time that he could have any peace at all was when he got around God's chosen man. And he had David come and play. And I don't know. I know David played the harp. He might have sung a little bit. I don't know what he played. I don't know what he sung. But I know this. It brought a peace about Saul that he couldn't find any other time. We've got people that their Goliath is about running them crazy. We've got people that their Goliath is about to drive them to an early grave. And the only time that they can find any peace at all is when you sing your song. What song are you talking about, preacher? I can't sing a lick. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Go before His presence with singing songs and making melodies in your heart. Oh, preacher, I just can't do it in this day and age. I read where Israel hung their harps up on the willows. I'm telling you, this world needs to hear your song, little David. I don't know what his song was. It might have been a song that he wrote about the time that God delivered him from his Goliath. What's your song?
this is a Wednesday night crowd. I believe he's done more for you than just save your soul.
Amen.
Was that the last time that he did anything for you? Has he helped you cut the head off of Goliath a time or two?
Amen.
I believe you are praying. You know what? We are so quiet.
Happy morning.
We got to be polite now. What would somebody think if we said something? Well, here's when you know whether you need to talk or not. When that heart's about to beat out of your chest.
That's right.
And you're afraid if you don't say something, God will do something with you. That's the very time you need to speak up for him. You see, Israel realized because of Goliath's death that God was using David. And they said, Saul's killed his thousands. David has killed his 10,000s. Saul got jealous, all because Goliath died. He took a javelin and tried to kill David on two different occasions. And David had the very opportunity to return the favor to Saul. And he even got so close that he took a knife and he cut the skirt off Saul's garment. And he felt condemned about that. And when he brought it to Saul's attention, and Saul said, you could have killed me. David said, God forbid that I would touch one of God's elect. Listen, I've heard people run preachers down the road, run other Christians down the road. You better be careful.
That's right.
Amen.
You may have forgot you said them words, but God didn't.
That's right.
And what did he say? Well, they're not going to do anything to me. That's not what God said. God said, vengeance is mine. I shall repay. Do you believe that if God says that he'll do it?
Yes, I do.
Amen. We sure don't live like it, do we? Aren't you about tired of cowtailing to that Goliath in your life? Aren't you about tired of trying to appease him so he'll just ease off of you for a little bit for today? I've heard him. He's given me a good tongue lashing many times. And if I'm not careful, I'll let it get me plumbed down. I'll be plumbed down and out. You been there?
Yes.
Yep.
You know what I need to do when I get that low?
Lord,
it's yours. Mm-hmm. I can't do it on my own.
Amen.
That's right.
But you fight for me. Friend, I'm telling you today, there is no Goliath. Well, let me give you some New Testament scripture. How about that? You know what David represented? He represented the church. And what did the New Testament say about the church? Jesus said, upon this rock, who's he talking about? Himself. I will build my church, and it's going to go away when I go away to heaven. It's going to be over with whenever they crucify me on the cross. When they lay me in the tomb, that's all that's said and done for the church. That's not what that scripture says. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If they can't prevail, what makes you think Goliath can?
Amen.
Quit trying to appease Goliath. Quit trying to pacify Goliath. You seen these babies who cry? Here come that pacifier out. And just as soon as you get it in their mouth, they spit it right back out and they'll cry some more. You can't pacify Goliath. It just don't work. He's going to beller. He's going to holler. He's going to cry until you or defeated, or you give it up and let God fight your battle. Which one are you going to do? You going to let him stomp on you? Let me go one more place and I'll be done. Gary, I never thought about all this. He said this. God did. Way back in Genesis. Whenever Eve had partook of the forbidden fruit and give it to Adam, and he did eat. And there stood God. And God said, referring to the serpent, he said, the serpent shall bruise your heel. But that's not all that he said. He said, you will bruise his head.
Amen.
Go read it. That's not exactly how it's written. But that's what it's intended. Don't tell me you can't do anything with your Goliath. Goliath is just another form of old Satan himself.
Amen.
Yep. If you get where God can use you, you can wound him. If you try it on your own, you're going to get a whooping. You're going to get a whooping. And I've seen people do that. I've seen people open that mouth and then there are hurt feelings all over the place that can never be mended, words that can never be taken back. And you've just been defeated by your Goliath. God don't work through here. He don't work in between your ears. He works in your heart.
Amen. Yeah.
And listen, I'm going to say this. I'm your pastor. I don't have it all figured out. Now, I see people on social media and things like that every day want to give advice and tell you about scripture and religion and stuff like that. If it don't have the spirit in it, you don't have to take it. Mm-hmm. If that's just leave it alone, not even listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, because I'm speaking from personal experience, I've had Goliath give me a fit and try his best to destroy me.
Yeah.
And the only way I could do anything with it is say, here, God.
Amen.
Here, God,
yep.
You do this because I can't.
That's right.
Who made you? Who made me? God did. Out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Out of a handful of dust.
Mm-hmm.
He made you. And that wasn't as far as he went. He took that little old handful of dust and he made it just like him. He made it to look like him, to walk like him, to talk like him, to act like him, to be like him.
Amen.
And then he breathed on you and gave you a living soul.
Yes.
He made you his child.
Yes.
He spoke and created the worlds. He created
yes.
the heaven and the earth. He made the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of the field. He made the grass to grow, the trees to grow, the flowers to bloom. You tell me anybody that can do that can't whip Goliath.
Amen.
He can take care of your Goliath.
Amen.
If you're willing to give it to him. But as long as you're able to hold on to it and pacify it, you never will. With it. You never will be defeated with it. You never will be able to cut its head off. And listen, I've seen people bring their Goliath to the altar and get down and pray and just cry. And then when they got back up, they'd say, come on, Goliath, let's go back. If you're going to take it to God, leave it with him.
Yes, leave me.
And have faith and trust in him that he can whip it, that he can conquer it. I've done that too. I've done that too. The death of Goliath. Are you not about tired of hearing him bellow in your life every day?
Amen.
Are you not about tired of listening to Goliath tell you you're nothing and a nobody? Mm-hmm. Are you not about tired of Goliath keeping you from enjoying your salvation?
Amen.
Are you not about tired of Goliath telling you that you can't help nobody? You're just wasting your time? I told you Goliath, that's just another form of old Satan himself. Who is Satan? He is a liar and the father of it.
Amen. Yeah.
Don't believe a word Goliath tells you. Give it to God.